2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. Sometimes I think to myself, I just wish people believed the Bible. I'm not just talking about lost people. I wish saved people believed the Bible. And again, believing something is not saying, oh, it could be that way. Oh, that might be right. Believing it is saying, that's the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Anything from in the beginning God created to so shall we ever be with the Lord and everything in between, I believe the Word of God. And that's one of the problems with modern versions of the Bible. They cast so much doubt on what the Bible says that many of the things in the Bible get lost. Sometimes entire verses, in a couple of cases, entire passages. Now, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let me show you just a couple of words that explain what this passage is all about. And we'll start out in verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. He says, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, there's that word, a house, again, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He talks about houses and tabernacles and buildings. He mentions houses again in verse 2 and tabernacles in verse 4. And even as you look at these verses, you're going to remember that, and he uses the word there, he's talking about the way things are going to be in eternity. Amen? And we can talk about that all night. He describes our body. The tabernacle he's talking about there is a description of our body. Now, that's not a word that we use a lot in English. There's a word that we use that means the same thing. It's the word tent. When I was younger and didn't have a whole lot of money, we first got married and we're living in Utah. We used to go camping in a tent. I found out something. I sure do prefer an RV. And that doesn't even compare to a motel room and a restaurant. Amen? When we were in the Army, we used to carry a shelter half. And what that basically meant was, unless somebody else had the other half, you weren't going to get to sleep indoors that night. And a tent, that's what this body is like right now. And you've probably all of us here, almost all of us at least, somewhere along the way have owned a tent. And we used it for a while. And it got leaky and it got torn and the parts of it got missing and we threw it away or we gave it away or whatever. Our body is disposable. It's going to be thrown away and replaced. Amen?
Amen.
So there's a thought about eternity. Brother Leo, you're going to be a different guy when I see you in heaven. Amen? And so Brother Gonzalez is just about right. Okay, he'll be okay. But some of us here, like Brother Leo, we've got some work done, me and others, so I won't get into the details here. No, you're going to have a perfect body in heaven, a glorified body. No sickness, no illness, no pain, no sin.
Amen.
No flesh, not that kind of flesh anyway. Not made with hands, and God made it. We'll just leave it at that for now. We haven't got time to get detailed there. Okay, so there's this anticipation of a house. Then, in verses 5 through 8, he says, and I'm not going to read all of them to you, but look at verse 6. He says, we are always confident. He says in verse 8, we are confident. I think you will agree with me. This is the Wednesday night crowd. These are the folks that ought to be the cream of the crop in a church. I think you would agree with me. I am confident the Word of God is true.
Amen.
I am confident in the promises of God. Not that we can't do better at that. But one thing I'm sure of is when we step out of this body, when we die, we're going to be with the Lord for all eternity.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Let's go. Come on.
You say, well, Pastor, I got some plans next week.
Uh-huh.
Trust me, heaven's better.
Amen.
There's assurance. We have an anticipation of a new body in verses 1 through 4. We have assurance in verses 5 through 8. Now, in verses 9 through 11, this is a little different because it could be good, might not be so good. We have an appearance to make. And this is one of those parts of the Bible that we need to believe. He says in verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I got to keep reading. That everyone may receive the things done in his body, this body that we have right now, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And then he makes a statement, and there's two or three of these in Corinthians that at first glance you might think it means one thing, but it really means something a little bit different. He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now, that word terror, the Greek word is phobos. That's where we get the word phobia, fear. I understand that when the Lord comes back, if you're lost, that's going to be terrible. That's terror there. But I don't think that's what he's talking about here. That's not what he's been talking about so far. He's talking to save people. You ever had to go to court? Well, what if you were in court and you were being tried for a capital offense where the judge could pronounce a death sentence? You say, well, I'm innocent. I'd still be afraid because anything can happen in court. You know, sadly, some things happen that shouldn't happen. But I think some of us have more experience. For example, I can remember when I was in high school, when I was 16 years old, I just got my driver's license and I had to go to traffic court. I was terrified. The judge fined me $12. But going in there, I was afraid to stand in front of that man. And I can still to this day remember what he said. It was so perfect. I've told you the story before. I was speeding and they stopped me outside the city limits. And I said, he wasn't a judge. What do they call him anyway?
Justice.
Yeah, justice of the peace. He said, are you guilty? And I said, well, when he stopped me, I was outside the city limits. He said, do you consider that a defense for a crime? And I thought, no. $12. And I had a traffic record now. When you stand before the Lord, what are you going to say? Pastor, I've got some good excuses for not being in church. Tell it to the Lord. Pastor, I got good excuses for not serving God, for not living for God. Don't think so. Amen? But let's look at the good side here. What if you served the Lord your whole life? What if you're ready for that day? I think there'll still be some fear of standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. But what if you served him with your whole life? Just pick a name out of the air. D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was a faithful man of God. I can think of some men that I know. There's a man up in Utah that's... he's going to be in the late 70s now. He's been a pastor up there. He's now retired. His name is Jerry Stonehouse. I think he's going to stand before God and have a good day of judgment. You know, you like to stand and be judged when you're ready, especially when rewards are at stake. Amen?
Amen?
Sort of like the athlete. In fact, Paul describes it that way, running a race with patience, looking to the author and finisher of our faith in Hebrews. And when we stand before the Lord one day, if we're ready, there'll still be some fear, but won't it be great? Now, it's only 20 to 5. I got a lot of time. No, it's 10 till 8. I'm just going to show you a couple of things here. Let's go back and look at the anticipation just for a moment, because this is encouraging, especially to those of us who've got a body that's kind of worn out. He says in verse 1, we know. Now, again, in verse 6, we're confident, knowing. He says in verse 8, we're confident. Folks, these are just promises of God. Amen? And you say, what's eternity going to be like? Someone says, well, nobody knows what heaven's going to be like. I know what the Bible says it's going to be like. There may be some details missing, but there's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. There's going to be no hell anymore. It's going to be somewhere else. We're going to all live in a glorified body. There's not going to be any night or day. It's going to be day all the time. There's going to be months, however, and seasons. The Bible says that in the Revelation, and I can't go into all the details, but we do know one more thing. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to walk with us. He's going to be our God, and we're going to be his people. And again, Thessalonians, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I don't know how that works. I just know this. We're always going to be with him. And, you know, a little funny joke we tell, you know, 1,000 years from today, you're all invited to my house for dinner. There will be food. There will not be death, Amen. But there will be food. I don't know how to understand. I don't understand all that. But more simple, down to the fact of the matter, in verses 1 through 4, even if you're young, this is good. We're going to have a new body in verse 1, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And he says, in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Some of us groan more than others. But groaning, the word there, if you look it up, means it's an audible expression of pain, of suffering, or of anguish. And sometimes, you know, when you're really hurting, sometimes you just can't be quiet and you'll kind of groan a little bit. Some of us get that sick sometimes. And don't want to talk about that. I just want you to know something. The anticipation of this new body that God's promised us, if you knew how good it's going to be, you'd say, I can't wait. And the one we live in right now, we understand it hurts. There's groaning. You know what? One of the worst things about our body right now is not the sin. I'm sorry, not the health, but the sin. I don't like being unhealthy. I got a phone call from my doctor today, and I think doctors would go broke if it wasn't for tests. And wow, they want to run some more tests, and their price of their test is here, and my insurance deductible is here, and so it's going to wind up costing us some money. But he told me last time I had a test, he saw something, wants to check again, see if it's growing or not. Okay, so I have to go get that thing tested out and find out whether or not I'm healthy. But I can handle that. What I really hate is the way the flesh is so easily tempted. You know, the sin that so easily besets us. Folks, that's all going to be over. Amen. You'll never sin again once you step into eternity. We groan for that. He says in verse 4, we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. He says that mortality might be swallowed up in life. That new body will never die. And in our church, we've had the experience of seeing several people step into eternity in the last 3 or 4 years. And it's a sad thing. It's a horrible thing to see. No more of that. Amen? Amen. So there's some anticipation. You say, Pastor, I'm young and healthy. I'm still thinking that body in heaven's a lot better.
That's right.
Say, Pastor, I'm old and broken. Yeah, been there, done that. Just wait. It won't be long. Amen? Anticipation. The promise will be fulfilled. Assurance. He talks about the confidence. I've already talked about that quite a bit. But there's some specific things you can be confident in. He says in verse 5 that who God hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Now, you've all heard me talk about this. I think you have, so I'll be brief. But when you buy a house, you put down earnest money. What's earnest money? It's proof that you're serious about buying the house. You write a contract that says, I want to buy your house, and you put a check with it for maybe $1,000. And what that says is, I'm serious about this. Folks, God gave us His Holy Spirit. He's serious about this. And if you do not know the presence of the Holy Spirit, if you don't know, that is something the Bible says, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're a child of God. If you cannot see evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life, come talk to me or talk to somebody else, Brother Mendez or somebody. You need to check on your salvation, amen? Now, I know that we can get it. I'm not going to get into it. I just want you to know this. I know the Spirit of God lives in me.
Amen.
And it's there as proof that God has adopted me into His family and that I'm going to be with Him one day. So he says, we're confident. Look at verse 7. Can you see verse 7? We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. You can see some really ugly things right now in the world, can't you? You read the news, you see some really bad things in the news, and you think, oh boy, that's bad. In our lives, maybe, we can see some really bad things. Financial problems, health problems, family problems, school problems. Students go, oh no, school's coming. Well, it ends one day, then you have to really go to work. And by the way, school's a job. I don't know if you knew that or not. You know, school's not recreational, it's a job. It's getting you ready for the life. And anyway, You look at all these problems and you say, wow, things look really bad. You're looking at the wrong thing. You got to look at the Lord. Amen? We walk by faith, not by sight. I've been reading the Psalms lately. I just can't get over it. Do you know how much God talks about deliverance in the Psalms? And isn't he a God that has, we talked about it earlier tonight, miracle after miracle after miracle that were miracles of deliverance. Getting the children, Hebrew children, across the Red Sea when the armies of Pharaoh were pursuing them. Delivering the Hebrew children out of the fiery furnace. The fourth was likened to the Son of God. Daniel's, what, 325? Is that right? Lots and lots of deliverance in the Bible. Do you think God's out of the deliverance business? No. You think you got it bad now? How would you like to live when Nero was the emperor of Rome? Not very fond of Christians, by the way, neither are people today. But you know what? Paul did a good work when Nero was the emperor of Rome. Folks, we need to quit looking at the situation and start looking at the promises and at our God. Amen? Amen? And then everything looks pretty good. I'm just telling you, Peter was walking on the water until he got to looking at the wind and the waves. And then he began to sink. And do you know why he sank? And you ought to have this memorized. If you don't know why he sank, please listen carefully. He sank because he began to think that the situation was too great for him to be doing what he was doing. There was too much potential for injury, and maybe this isn't supposed to be this way. Maybe I can't do this after all. Jesus said, come to me on the water. You can't walk on water. Yeah, when Jesus says to you, can. Amen? Amen? Don't try this at home, by the way. But if the Lord says to, that's the key, I think, that's really the key to prayer, is finding God's will. But anyway, when you look at the situation around us, I see wind and waves and storm, but let's just keep walking towards the Lord. Keep your eyes on him. We walk by faith, not by sight. And oh, by the way, just in case you never heard this before, and I know I've talked to you about it many times, what that means is you're going to have to trust God with some things you can't see.
That's right.
Amen? All right. Well, it's 10 till 5. Got lots of time. No, it's 8 o'clock. I got to finish. Okay, verse 9. Okay, wait with me now. 2 Corinthians is all about Paul explaining his ministry to the Corinthians, defending might be a better word, telling them, here's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Here's why I did what I did with you, and explaining to them his passion, his heart, what motivates him. You know, a lot of people are motivated by the flesh. Well, how do I feel? What do people think about me? How much fun is this going to be? And there's nothing wrong with those things when you do them in the right way. But Paul was motivated by eternity. What is, they're looking at the big picture. What's going to happen afterwards? And so here we go. There is an anticipation of the new body in verses 1 through 4. There is an assurance that we're going to be with the Lord one day, the promises of God. We're confident in that. And in verse 9, he says, wherefore we labor. Thinking about those promises in that eternity. Wherefore, we labor that we're, whether present, we're talking about in the body, or absent after he's left this body, we may be accepted of him. It's not talking about salvation. Can I just say it this way? There are some things that you and I might do that are unacceptable to the Lord. We ought to do that which is acceptable. Now look at verse 10. You got to believe this verse, folks. You need to keep this verse. You know, put this on your wall somewhere, maybe. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We have an appearance awaiting us. You know what we're bad about sometimes? I know I'm bad about this. I look at people that just seem to, they have no regard for what God wants. They don't come to church. They don't serve. They won't make a commitment. The least little thing takes them away from God's work and off into something else that they enjoy. And I think, you're going to stand before God one day. Amen?
Amen.
Now, let's see. Antonio Jr. is not here tonight, so I can't pick on him. But I'll pick on myself. I got a traffic ticket a while back. It was a wreck. It was an accident. It was my mistake, my fault. But I did wrong. And so I had to go, and actually what was kind of fun was I took a defensive driving class, and they erased that ticket. But I still was supposed to appear before the court. I went downtown, stood outside the courthouse, and when I got to the door, the fellow said, "No, you can't come in. Praise the Lord, let's go home." Haven't got to appear before the judge, even though I was not, you know, even though it was all taken care of. But we're all going to appear before the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question will be asked, what did you do with your life?
Good.
Say, well, in general, no. What did you do with your life on August the 5th, 2020 or 2020? What did you do with your life on tomorrow and the next day and the next day? Let me ask you a question. Could you serve God with your life tomorrow?
Amen.
Could you pray?
Amen.
Could you read your Bible and hear from Him and find His will? Could you hand out a tract? Could you tell somebody about Him? Could you invite somebody to church? Could you be an encouragement to somebody? You know, we need some encouragers. I remember so many times this one pastor I knew used to talk about people that have the gift of discouragement. And you know, people like that. And I've talked about this before. I had that fellow in the church in Maryland. He reminded me of Eeyore. Eeyore, it's a sunny day. Yeah, but it's going to rain later. You know, anything you say, he's got something that's going to, it's just not going to work out well. And, you know, the Winnie the Pooh donkey with his tail tacked on with a thumbtack or something. And folks, we should be a lot less like Eeyore and a whole lot more like Tigger.
Amen.
Just enthusiastic. Say, Pastor, I don't see anything to be enthusiastic about. You're walking by sight. What about faith? Amen? There's some enthusiasm right in here.
Amen.
Pastor, something bad's going to happen. Yep, and God's going to be with me when it does. Pastor, there's a disaster awaiting. Yep, and God's going to deliver us and get glory because of it. Pastor, there's not enough supply. Yeah, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Why do we have to be so Eeyore-like? Why do we have to be so, oh, this terrible thing could happen? You know, God knows what's going to happen. I don't. Amen?
Amen?
And neither do you. So let's just assume that God's right and trust Him. Amen? And when you stand before Him, that's one of the questions. Did you trust Him? Amen? Well, Pastor, I trusted Him to save me for all eternity. I knew I was going to go to hell because I was a sinner. And I knew Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I prayed and I asked Him to save me from my sins and to be my Savior. And He did. And so my question would be this. You trusted Him for all eternity? And you couldn't trust Him for a few years of life? Amen?
Amen.
Folks, let's just trust Him. Someone says, I just don't see it. Haven't got to see it. We walk by faith. I would like to think the Lord would come back tonight. Wouldn't that be great?
Amen.
Well, there's somebody that's not saved yet. And if He came back tonight, they'd die and go to hell. And by the way, if you read the passage, the Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness. And He's talking about the promise to come back. But then what does the rest of that verse say? But He's long-suffering to usward, not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's why He's waiting. Now, at least one more person needs to get saved before He comes back. If it's the one you haven't witnessed to yet, please go witness to them so we can all go home. Amen? I don't know which one it is, so we better try to find as many as we can because one of them's out there somewhere. Wouldn't that be fun to walk through eternity saying, I led the last one to the Lord before Jesus came back. Good job, Brother Leo. Thank you for that. What took you so long? Amen? Folks, I'm sure about eternity. I am absolutely sure about that new body we're going to have. No question about it. I'm sure that we're going to be with Him for all eternity. And I'm also sure I'm going to stand before Him one day and give an account. And I can't do anything about the last days and weeks and months and years. They've been lived already. But I can live for Him today. And I can live for Him tomorrow. And I found out, Matthew 6:34, after today, Don't worry about it. It'll be there when you get there. Amen? Wouldn't it be funny if you were worrying about something, oh, Pastor, a month from now, and the Lord came back before then? You'd be kicking yourself for all eternity. I was all worried about that, and then Jesus came back. Well, I got news for you. If he doesn't come back, he's with us anyway.
Amen?
Amen?